started already. Good morning, everybody. I think they're going to put up a couple pictures for us from the trip that we both kind of blended together on. I just can't tell you how many meaningful points there were in our trip, but this was especially good. It was at the school. Okay, there was many facets to this, but this is the woodworking shop. And the man in the blue, he was pretty much the spokesperson. They made all types of craft, and you'll see a bit of that in just a minute. He was one of the refugees that was driven out of his home by ISIS. This man is an electrical engineer, and in Jordan, he's not allowed to work at his profession or at anything. And these people are all waiting to get out of and onto another country where they can be productive again. But they developed this woodworking shop, and you'll see that they started out with a really old laser, and they've now developed to a newer product. And if you'd place up the next shot, please. This was one of them that they made, and it just struck Butch and I both that we just loved this. It's fairly good size, and it's going to be a part of your church. We want... We wanted to bring this back as a memory for all of us.
I want to talk about the home, too, for refugees. We had dinner there with the refugees, and the young gentleman that was at our table, he was from Iraq, and he came from Iraq. They gave him an hour to get out of the country 5 years ago. He was 12 years old, and his uncle owned a bus, and the whole family got out, cousins and whatever. But he made jewelry, and I bought a necklace for Linda. She hasn't got it on, but that he had made, and it was such an awesome, awesome trip. That was really the highlight of me. And I want to thank Jack for coaxing us into going. I really do, but there was a lot of walking. Okay, I'm done.
Just be so grateful that God saw that this should be our home, because these people do live in some really bad situations. It's amazing. I have a Bible verse I'd like to read to you. It is Galatians, and it is chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in a perfect unity.
So Denise, where's Denise at? I'm going to ask her to come, and she has some thoughts that she would like to share as well.
Hi. Like everyone said, and everyone after me will say, there is just so much. So when Pastor Larry comes to you and said, can you just pick one? You're like, yeah. So we had a few wonderful, wonderful pastors that gave devotionals every day. And apparently Matthew was a big theme to me, and Peter and the disciples. So Pastor Robin spoke one day on Matthew 4. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, there should be a picture. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. And Robin followed it up by, it was a reminder, something that was in the back of my mind, that as youngsters, until they're about 13, they're taught the Torah, and then it's their decision. If they feel led, they will find a rabbi to cling to and teach them more. So when Jesus said, come follow me, they knew he was a great rabbi, and they just immediately left and followed him. And then Pastor Bob Lozier was also in Matthew in the garden. There should be a picture. And I can't even describe the feeling when you're in the garden. It's 100% sure that Jesus was there. Matthew 26, 36, if I can find it. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And as we know, he left and prayed, and they went to sleep, and then he came back, and can't you stay awake, and et cetera. And just the thought later on, I mean, obviously they didn't realize the impact of that. But then as we were in different sites, and my last picture is a picture of Peter, and it's after Jesus tells him, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me, or you will deny me three times. So that's the picture, is Peter and the crow on top of that column. And I was just standing there looking at it and thinking, I'm no better than Peter. I may not verbally deny Jesus, but how many times have I not stood up for him? Or in a situation, just not said anything. So in my mind, I am Peter, and I think many of us can relate to that. So my prayer right there was to not be that Peter anymore and be more the Peter who went out and went into the world and made a difference. Thank you.
So Joan Van Loan, where's Joan at? She's going to come and talk about her baptism experience in the Jordan River. There were actually 35, I think, that got baptized that day. It was pretty neat. Here you go, Joan.
Do I push any button?
Nope, just talk.
Okay, well, you probably see this shirt quite a bit. Many of us had that nice experience on the Sea of Galilee. Also have a bracelet that I was given to remember to pray for Bethlehem, and each of us received a reminder to pray for different places like Jerusalem and Bethlehem. I took notes so I could explain myself a little better. So first of all, I felt very blessed to participate on a trip to the Holy Land. Never in my life did I ever think that opportunity would come to me. And it's very heartfelt because I had to work very, very hard to make sure that I could afford to do this trip. And it's only by God's blessings and mercy that I made it, because there were some obstacles that I had to overcome. So for the past several years, especially since attending this church, I felt a yearning to be baptized again, but I just never felt the right time. And I think that's another way God works, because the right time I knew was on this trip. I mean, holy crow, to get baptized, you know, in the Jordan River, just like Jesus. So the timing felt just right. I was baptized when I was about 12, and I was very pleased, and it was very heartfelt, and gave my life to Christ. But it was just great to get a chance to do that right in Israel. It was a long trip to the Jordan River, to the baptismal site at Yardinet. There were many buses there full of people all arriving to be baptized, and I just thought, wow, you know, I'm just going to be one of so many. It wouldn't be that meaningful, but it really was. And it was very organized. I don't know if they're going to show a picture or not, but you saw one earlier. You could see that many of us had on a white gown. We were given a white gown and a towel. We changed in a changing room into the white gown. Under it, you would have a swimsuit or clothes that you didn't care that you got wet. We met at the river site for the baptismal, and we walked down to where the pastors awaited us. There was Pastor Larry, and Pastor Jack was taking pictures. There's Pastor Blake, Pastor Bob Wilkie, and Pastor Bob Lozier. The water, as you stepped into it, had a chill, but that didn't hold you back. And there's actually some fish swimming around, and you could feel them around your ankles a little bit. But that didn't stop us either. I think catfish was one of the kinds, but there was some other kinds too. When I got up to be baptized, you can see I kind of have a funny look, but someone said, well, who do you want to baptize you? Well, I've had all these wonderful pastors, you know, you've got close to Pastor Blake, who is a wonderful tour leader and all this, and there was Pastor Larry, and like I said, both Pastor Bob's, and I was like, I just want to be baptized. So I had this strange look. I didn't expect that question. But anyway, I was very happy that it was Pastor Larry. So I was, you know, I said my name, and I was baptized in my name as Joan Van Loan. And I came up with a feeling so excited, and again, feeling so blessed. And there I am feeling so blessed. So I do feel that God has his hand in my life. I feel the love of Jesus Christ. I do feel blessed. From this experience, I know I can trust God working my life, and I can lean on him in both good times and in bad. I think my prayer life during this trip, and certainly because of the baptism, has become even more meaningful and more deeper than before this trip and before the baptism. And last but not least, you don't stay that way. You can go to the changing room, you can shower, you can dry off, you can put on dry clothes, then back to the bus you go and off to a wonderful dinner at a wonderful hotel. Thank you.
She got a baptism certificate. How about that? Thank you, Joan. So next up is Lynn Tweedy and Don. And so Lynn, why don't you come on up? And where's Tammy at? Tammy, did you want to, she shared this morning, but did you want to say the word about the, just affirming the people who brought the veterans' gifts? You mentioned that. Did you want to do that? Lynn?
I'm not too good at this. Good morning, everybody. When Pastor asked us to pick one thing that meant the most to us, I couldn't. So I'm probably going to talk about three different things briefly. The first one, if we can show you, at the school, when we went to the refugee area the first, These are pictures that they had the children draw. And on one side, they had them draw what their life was like before they came to the refugee area. And it was full of doom and gloom. And they would draw pictures sometimes of soldiers, of sadness, of guns, of losing family members. And then after they had been there a while, they had them take the other half of the paper and draw what they thought of their life after they'd came to the area. And as you can see, there's a rainbow, and there's a tree with fruit, and they draw their home and their church, and they're just so happy to be there, you know? And it just warmed my heart to see those children. It was really, really nice. Can I have the second picture? This, again, is the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is the one where I felt his presence the most. I felt it through the entire trip, but this one really spoke to me. And the feeling was so strong that I felt I needed to pray there. So I asked Pastor Larry to go into the temple or church and pray with me, and we did. And it was, I can't even describe the feeling, but it was really, really strong there. And the next picture is, this was our lunch with the refugees, which was the highlight, I think, of our trip. Again, the guy from the woodworking shop, you can see him there, he was at our table. So I'll let Donnie tell you a little bit about what he had to say.
I'm here.
Don't mind him. Don't mind him.
And the roof is still standing.
Oh boy.
Now, this is, you don't really understand what we have until you go someplace where they don't have it. You know, the man that was an engineer, like you said, he's in a situation where he's not allowed to work. He's not allowed to go back home. And he told me once there was a company there that needed his skills and used him, but they couldn't pay him because of where he was from. And then you always think of refugees as just people with nothing. But the father on the left, and that's his son standing next to Lynn, he was a businessman with, I think he told me, like three buildings. And he had, it was either 2 hours or 20 hours to get out. Either leave or be killed. And I mean, we don't have no comprehension of that. You know, and I just you can't believe it's still here. And then probably the most interesting thing for me is I had a chance to meet an international smuggler.
The last picture, please.
And I didn't think we was gonna get back in the building. You don't ever see me here again, that's why. But thank you for letting me go.
And if you want to know about the international rock smuggler, just Pastor Larry will let you in on that entire story.
I have a comment to make. The entire trip, I was absolutely elated to have Don Tweedy on board until today. No, we had a great time, and Don, I'm so glad you went. Thank you, Lynn and Don, for sharing that. Next up is Priscilla.
This is way out of my comfort zone. This is not anything I'm good at all. When I started this journey several years ago, when I forgot my stuff. Sorry. received this little plaque from Pastor Larry and Jack when they went over. Am I holding it right? Okay. This plaque symbolizes persecuted Christians from Iraq. I don't know for sure whether this was hung on their doors or how they knew, but one of the speakers that we were listening to told us that they get turned in as Christians by their friends. And when that happens, the ISIS comes to them and gives them a very brief amount of time to pack up their stuff and get out or be killed. This journey was supposed to be for me a me journey. Just to walk where Jesus walked, see the steps that he walked on. But when I got over there, God had another plan. He kept bringing me back to that little symbol and to the suffering that these people have. And I'm going to have to do it by picture because I just don't know. I don't know what to say. So if you put up the first one, I'll try to do it. This was in the school in Marka, correct? These beautiful children came out and just sang with such joy and such dedication to the song. There wasn't anybody hovering in the background with a solemn face or anything. They were just filled with joy. And I thought, oh, this is good, this is cute, this is nice. Next picture, please. And let me see if I can come up with the names. Larry and I had the privilege of sitting with these people for lunch that day. And it's a good thing he was there because he asked the good questions. I just sat in awe and wonder. Sana Samara is the woman that I have my arm around there. She's the mom. And she has a daughter there, and I think it's the one by Larry. She's the farther one then? Okay. Her name is Eliza, I think. Something like that. The other mom is standing next to her, along with her daughter, Natalia. All of these are Iraqi refugees, ripped out of their country, taken to a country that doesn't want them there either. Jordan does not want them. So they won't let them have jobs. And these churches are the ones that support them through the gifts that they make. And they make beautiful, beautiful gifts. As you saw, their woodworking shop. I have another This is all carved by them. And they just do so many, many different projects there. And then there's they teach them sewing. They have a medical facility. You saw some shots through the early pictures where they have dentistry. They take care of these people. This is a mission like I've never seen before in my life.
But the heartbreaking thing with this story is that though they can't settle there, they don't know where to go. And they have family members in different countries. Some are here, some are in Australia, some are in Canada. And they have to decide which family member they want to go with because they're not all together in one country. Very, very heartbreaking to me. The last picture, please. What's three, right? All right, this is the church in Samson? Is that? Oh, that's right. That's right. Where is it actually located? Hashby. Called the Samson Church. I was trying to remember the name of that. The church that where the school was that we were at was a little bit more open than this one is. This one, they have to hide. And it's upstairs behind a Samsung store. That's why they call it the Samsung Church. That is Pastor thank you, Romney. They have to do this secretly. They can't be open about it. I didn't take any pictures outside because you don't want to bring any attention to them. And they were very gracious to us. They provided us with some coffee and snacks and all that. But the pastor told the story of his wife. When I think about persecution, we don't know nothing. We don't know nothing. This man's wife got called out, interrogated. He did not say what happened to her, but he indicated that there was some kind of abuse. And she was told, she was allowed to return home, but she was told that any time they call for her, she better come and she better answer their questions. I can't imagine that happening to anyone, anywhere. But in spite of all that, he and his wife remain faithful to their calling to reach out to people who have been displaced and have nowhere to go and no hope. They are the hands and feet of Jesus in that place. How has this changed me? I will truly never be the same. And the calling is to be hands and feet wherever God has placed me. I had the absolute privilege of not only being able to take this trip, but God moved heaven and earth and brought my family with me. I got to go on this trip with my family. And those people had their families torn apart. Oh, how that wrenches my heart. And I thank you too for making this happen. Thank you for being God's faithful servants and for the example that you are to all.
Thank you, Priscilla. We're about five after, and I'm going to ask you for a few minutes of grace here. I'm going to do a few wrap-up comments, and then we're going to sing a song and pray for the people we were with. But I want to share a couple thoughts of my story. You can put the first picture up, Brianne. The Wailing Wall at night was a very powerful, moving thing. I mean, just that's where the Jewish people go. They're crying out to God for help, praying for a Messiah. You saw some pictures earlier. But the Wailing Wall is an amazing place. It's the closest they can get to what was formerly the Holy of Holies. Remember, the Muslims control the top part. So, next slide, Brian. So this is the table conversation that Priscilla and I were at, and she talked about these people. The guy on your right is Zach. He could translate for us. Here's my moment of impact, all right? These people have been out of Iraq for about 2 years, and they had to leave everything behind. And in the course of the conversation, I asked Zach to ask them, what has been the most difficult thing in the whole transition? And he came back with one word. Now, the woman in the green, that's the mom of the other girl, I believe, in the darker hair beside Priscilla. She couldn't speak English, but she answered him and he answered us. And the word he came back with of what is the most difficult thing they've had to deal with, it's one word. And he said, opportunities. And when I thought about that, and it sunk into my heart, what that meant is, hey, if I want to go to college or go to school, I could do that tomorrow somewhere. I have that opportunity. They don't. If I want a different job, I could go looking anywhere, anywhere. They're not allowed to work in that country. If I want to go out and buy a home or buy something, I could do that. You can do that. They cannot. So the one word she responds back to us of the most difficult part is opportunities. It was my moment of impact because I realized at that point, I said, God, here's my life. I want to be a person that's an opportunity maker for other people, even for you all. And or for people somewhere else in the world. Be an opportunity maker. So there's two ways to do that. One is when the spiritual, when they get connected with Jesus, that is the biggest opportunity there. Whether you're in Walton or over there in Jordan. So that's number one, the spiritual opportunity. Number two is temporal, of how can we help people in Walton or somewhere else in the world? You know what we're doing? We are bringing opportunities to them. I want us to be a church that's an opportunity maker, whether we're in Walton or we're in Jordan. Opportunity maker. And so for me, that was the biggest deal. And here's the final verse. Be wise, make the most of every opportunity. And that's where God just gripped my heart, and that was my big takeaway. God, here's my life. I want us as a church family to be that too, an opportunity maker. Wherever we go, whoever we run into, we want to be that to other people. So we have a closing song, and I'm going to ask the group to come on up, and we're going to sing the song.